And welcome, friends, to the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio with me. And we want to get back to COVID. This is the COVID program, part 6,476. Like we haven't discussed this issue quite enough. But I want to get back to what's going on.
It's not just they're doubling down on us.
They're doubling down on us.
Every time you turn around.
Exactly. Yeah. So we have to come back. We have to address it. As best as we can from a distinctly biblical perspective. And that's been the struggle. That's been our intent on the program. But first, this story, because I think this ties in, Bill. And I think you're going to understand the tie in just a moment. Records reveal, this from the New American, records reveal that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, that's the FDA, was purchasing babies' heads and other body parts for its humanized mice project, whatever that is.
Stop. Stop. No, seriously. Uh-huh. This is. There needs to be a warning from parents that they need to. This is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's ghoulish.
Yeah, it's ghoulish. That's exactly it.
This is cannibalism.
Uh huh. That's it. It's the FDA.
We have descended into the depths of depravity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it. The gory details found in hundreds of pages of records acquired under the Freedom of Information Act, brought by watchdog group Judicial Watch, in true ghoulish form. You use the word ghoulish, and this is ghoulish form. The government even demanded that the body parts be, quote, fresh and never frozen. That was part of the invoice, I guess. Mm. And then the story points out that President Trump, on September 24, 2018, says, the FDA terminates its contract with ABR for human tissue purchases. But guess what happened in April this year with President Biden? They brought it all back.
You're right.
Yep. Tax dollars allowed to use research using aborted baby body parts. One more time. Back in action. Joe Biden back in action. Friends, we're back to Ahab. We're moving from Omri to Ahab. This nation is under the judgment of Almighty God. And I don't think we are going to see anything of a retraction of God's judgment anytime too soon, Bill.
No.
I believe we are a nation under judgment, and we are not a nation that has repented. We did not repent under Donald Trump. The nation didn't repent of the use of abortifacients. The nation did not repent. This massive increase of aborted babies through the use of the IUD. This nation has not repented. The Southern Baptists haven't repented. The large Presbyterian Baptist denominations, Lutheran denominations, they haven't repented. This is not repentance. We haven't seen a grassroots repentance across this nation. And the end result is Joe Biden and these policies.
And when you look at him, you know, he has this grandfatherly look and this grandfatherly expression, but people need to realize they're looking into the face of evil.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what it comes to you as. Evil doesn't come to you, you know, with pitchfork and horns. It comes to you with the grandfatherly face.
Guys, there's no difference between this and the Third Reich and its ghoulish approach to medicine. There's no difference. This is where we are today. We've reverted back into the Nazi medical program. This is it, friends. The FDA is a Nazi medical program. Big medicine has turned into Frankenstein. And yes, as Christians, we need to be highly suspect of big medicine. Okay, we're going to take a break and come back and talk about the mandate for the vaccine, which, by the way, was formed using fetal tissue. And we've talked about this already before. But let me ask you this. Do you trust the FDA? Didn't they approve the Pfizer shot?
Yeah, it's hi, I'm from the government. I'm here to help you.
You trust the FDA?
No, I don't either.
Be back with more in just a moment on Generations.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released 5th grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here. Medicine not done in the fear of God. And I've argued this case many, many times in front of hundreds of thousands of people that a nation in which the fear of God is not the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, and the fear of God is not presented as basic in home education, Christian education, and public education, is a nation that's going down. And the science that is formed outside of the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge will become Frankensteinian. It will become ghoulish. It will ultimately destroy. And that's where we are today, my friends. This is not a good situation. Scientists who refuse to fear God are going to become Frankensteins. That's where we are now. And I just don't trust the system. I think I trusted more of the medical system in the early 1990s. I think when my son was born, considering vaccines and all the rest, there was something of a trust of the systems in the 1980s and 1990s.
Still,
now you get, you know, 20, 30 years later, and you see the ghoulishness. You see the baby body parts being traded. You see the descent into hell on the part of our scientific and medical communities, as well as the civil government and support of all of this ghoulishness. And I think the average Christian is saying, I'm not sure I support this anymore.
How can you? How can you? It's beyond the pale to even consider what you just described. It is right out of a horror movie.
Yeah.
In fact, there would not be a horror movie made that would depict what you just described.
Yeah, it's just too disgusting.
Right.
You're right. I don't even think, the worst horror movie genre would
depict something like this. It's just too disgusting.
Mm-mm. And yet, friends, this is your U.S. government's FDA participating in this ghoulishness, this cannibalism, so to speak. Well, now what do we do with the vaccine? Australia is mandating the vaccine and requiring the mandate for church attendance. And I interviewed a pastor from Australia on this program. That was one of the most eye-opening programs I have ever done, Bill. I mean, I was not aware of the differences between the U.S. and Australia. We have a wee bit more of liberty thanks to our decentralized form of law enforcement and such. But in the end, it seems like this mandate is coming down hard. You know about the corporate mandate that President Biden brought upon the nation. And now here is an article from the Gospel Coalition. September 18th, the Gospel Coalition is jumping on board the Australian government's decision to mandate vaccinations for religious organizations and for worship services. And here's what they write. This is the Gospel Coalition on September 18. Given our responsibility to love our neighbors and prioritize the interests of the most vulnerable, there are good and persuasive reasons for us to support and implement a system in which proof of vaccination is standard requirement for attendance at large indoor gatherings such as church services. That's the Gospel Coalition as of the 18th of September.
Okay. It's just, I want to turn over tables. I want to sit down and braid a whip. You know what I mean?
You're getting in that mood?
I'm getting in that mood. I am irritated that Christians are kowtowing to the secular culture and to the secular government rather than standing on the Word of God. Now, if you want to take the vaccine, that's your business, but it should not be mandated.
Yeah.
It should not be, you should not be coerced. You should not be shamed into doing something. And that's what's happening in the Christian community. It's under the guise of if you love your neighbor. That is not biblical.
This is a clear Romans 14 situation. What you put into your system could be vegetables. It could be the COVID-19 shot. There is a Christian liberty aspect to this, which is being ignored by these particular individuals. And I think it's because they so quickly kowtow to the principalities and powers. And it is hard to stand. I understand that. The hardest thing in the world is to stand up against these demonic forces that control the FDA and bring about such horrific things as was described in the last segment of the program. Yes, it is hard to stand against that kind of evil. I understand. I understand it is hard to seek freedom and to press forward in the battle for liberty in the 21st century. I understand there will be very few who will stand with Shama in the field of lentils. I get that. I get the faithlessness. I get the lack of courage. Here's the Southern Baptist ERLC Ethics Commission. In our experience, the reasons appealed to by some evangelicals for refusing vaccinations are not religious, but personal, philosophical, political. This includes objections that invoke religious beliefs in general terms, but often further scrutiny appeal to the other factors. Some may, for example, express concerns about infertility or the lack of longitudinal studies or that their employer has simply violated their rights, etc., but none of these reasons are overtly related with individuals' religious beliefs. I'm sorry, but the individual religious beliefs have everything to do with the law of God. And this
yes.
separation of the law of God from religion in the minds of the evangelical is to reject the commandments of God. It is not to keep the commandments of God. It is non-Christian. It is anti-Christian to stand against the laws of God and say the laws of God, the principles of God's laws in the Word of God are counter to faith. No, no, no. They constitute the fundamental of our faith. Our faith is, first, to keep the faith of Jesus, and second, to keep the commandments of God. That's how true believers are characterized in Revelation 14:12 in the last days, whether or not these be the last days. That is the way that Christians will be characterized, those who will keep the faith of Jesus and keep the commandments of God. Sadly, evangelicals, as in the Southern Baptists, refuse to keep the commandments of God and refuse to acknowledge that the commandments of God, the principles of God's Word, tied directly into our faith, to our religion, and can constitute a religious exemption, as in the case of fetal tissue, as in the case of religious liberty to make those decisions, i.e. Romans 14, as in the case of our requirement to seek liberty because we are bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 7:23. These are the verses they neglect because, sadly, they have neglected the commandments of God. They've neglected the principles of God's Word. Bill, I think that's what that comes down to. They're just saying God's Word have nothing to say about this kind of stuff because they're not reading it.
Yeah. And that's the sacred-secular dichotomy that we fall into. And that is, you know, this over here is spiritual, but this over here, that's secular, and therefore the Bible doesn't say anything about this. And so they don't understand jurisdiction. They don't understand the jurisdiction that it limits the state from encroaching upon the jurisdiction of the individual and the jurisdiction of the family. And so, and the jurisdiction of the church. And so we are willing to become slaves rather than free men and women.
The first principle that they neglect is that the state does not have jurisdiction. As Bill said, this is the first principle. I didn't mention that. The state has no jurisdiction in this area. Why? Because of Romans 14. This is the individual's jurisdiction. This is the family jurisdiction. The decision as to what you do with your body has to do with individual decisions, and it has nothing to do with the state. The state has the responsibility laid out for it in Romans chapter 13. The state is not God, and the state is not given absolute authority. There are so many Christians that they will say the state can do whatever it wants, and you cannot forbid the state to take upon itself unjust authority. You can't say that, they say. They say that the state can decide to kill all the Jews if it wants to. We say no. That's a violation of the Sixth Commandment on the part of the state. You see, we draw the line. The state does not have the ultimate control and the ultimate jurisdiction to decide whether to kill all the Jews or whether to tax us to 99% of our income or to kidnap our children and put them into public schools. The state does not have absolute authority to do all of this. I understand there are some Christians that say, oh, absolutely. The state can do whatever it wants, and you cannot impose God's law upon the state to tie back the state from violating the jurisdictional requirements that God has placed upon it. The state is not God. Now, that's very basic, and I think Christians need to hold to that. First and foremost, the ERLC needs to hold to that. The Gospel Coalition needs to hold to that. The state is not God. The state is not given absolute authority. The individual and the family have been given jurisdiction over health issues, and that's Romans 14. That's clear. And here's another principle. When we make judgments concerning shots, masks, etc., we need to remember that there is not to be a respect of persons in these judgments, which means the death rate for COVID, based upon the denominator that was achieved by a random sampling in a number of different localities, is somewhere around 0.2%. The fatality rate for the flu is about 0.15%. Now, I understand more people are getting it. I get that, at least right now. The death rate for Ebola is about 40%. So you might respond with a little bit more of a care when it comes for Ebola. But, friends, you've got to be really careful that you do not respect persons in these judgments. Does this mean that we disobey the government every time they cross over jurisdictional boundaries laid out by God's law? Now, there's a fine line between that. We use the biblical principles, lest we offend them, pay the tax. There are points at which it's no sweat. It doesn't force us to disobey God until, therefore, we can relent and we can walk the extra mile. But there is a point at which we ought to obey God rather than men. And some are convinced that it is a sin to take the shot for a lot of reasons. Sometimes it's that gut feel, that lack of trust in systems. That's what we talked about. Systems in which they're using baby body parts to do whatever they want to do, including your FDA that's in charge of approving the vaccines. There is a gut feel reason why some people reject it, because they know these systems, these witch doctors, these, whoever they are doing whatever they're doing, they just don't fear God. And that's an issue for some of us. Number two, there's the sixth commandment issue. The sheer numbers of people who've had bad reactions to the shot. I've talked about this. A neighbor, one of the few people I know personally who got the shot, almost died. There's so many stories like this now that we can't count them. And, of course, the VAERS data seems to indicate that there are a tremendous number of negative reactions to these shots, beyond anything that's ever happened in the history of vaccines. There's concerns for long-term effects. Now, I think the over-anxious implementation of these things on the part of the civil magistrate and incredibly proud scientists, without putting it through the tests on a sample size of 50, on a sample size of 500, a sample size of 5,000, over a period of, say, 10 to 15 years, was just plain old-fashioned foolish. Now, I was involved in the airbag industry, in which we were very careful in releasing new products because we knew they could potentially kill people. Yeah, if your airbag isn't designed properly, your inflator isn't designed properly, it could do serious damage. And so I was involved in quality and developing the processes and the design to some extent. And friends, we were very careful. The prouder you get, the more arrogant you are, you release it right away. To release it into the veins of 6 billion people inside of 6 months? Bill, I can't think of anything short of insanity.
And yet, people line up because they trust the government. And that's the sad part. We've put our trust in the wrong institution. We've put our trust in government rather than our trust in God. And as a result, we have been deceived into thinking that we can rely on government to do the right thing, not realizing that government is run by men, and men are fallible, and men are fallen, and men are evil. And so as a result, we're reaping the whirlwind.
There are lots of reasons why people refuse the shot, friends. I'm giving you the reasons. I'm just telling you, these are the reasons. Now, some people say, I get the shot because I love my neighbor. Well, I mean, the shot does not mitigate the communication of the disease. It's good for self, so if you love yourself, it might be good to protect yourself. But the shot, increasingly it seems, from the studies I've seen, there's not a lot of protection for other people. You tend to be a carrier still. You tend to communicate the disease still. So the shot really doesn't help other people. Moreover, the best way to achieve herd immunity, as far as many of us are concerned, is getting the disease and getting over it. A new study from Israel, as we talked about before, has indicated that the risk of infections was 13 times higher for vaccinated people than for previously infected people. Unvaccinated people, when either the infection or vaccination occurred between 4 and 7 months before, the risk for symptomatic breakthrough infections was 27-fold higher for those who had the natural immunity. I mean, that means that God's natural immunity system was 27 times better than the shot. Well, some of us think that may be a better way, a better approach. And in a long-term sense, it may ward off more of the variants as the years go by. And we have to get through all the 22 Greek letters. Well, there's a lot of other reasons. Some have brought out the witchcraft argument, and I think there's some interest in that amongst some people, because witchcraft is the attempt to acquire knowledge or power by manipulation and control from within the material world, absent of the fear of God, and that does affect science at points, and the word witchcraft in Revelation 21, verse 8, and Revelation 18, and verse 23, refers to pharmakeia, which is a reference to certain forms of drugs. And so some people say, hey, maybe some of these things tie into the issue. The J&J vaccine also publicly admitted to using a cell line called PERC6, the aborted fetus cell line. So that's on top of it all. So we can bring all these things to bear. The rise of tyranny is a concern to many of us. We're at the point where 76% of Americans now have taken the shot, and they pulled out all of the stops, and their high-powered rifles are firing at everybody now to try to get every single person in America to take this shot. And this indicates a rise of tyranny in a nation that at one time respected the liberty of the individual. And pushing back may be appropriate. Paul insisted on his rights as a Roman citizen and so forth and so on. So we have these reasons why people push back on the shots. And I want to bring these back and say there's merit to these arguments. And yet, I understand that there are some in your fellowship that say, you know, I'm 85 years of age and I don't want the aborted fetus stuff, but I'm willing to risk my life on an mRNA shot. And he's, you know, he's making a decision in faith. He's not violating conscience. And he's going to take the shot. I'm going to respect him. I'll respect his decision for that. But I'm not going to ask him to impose that on anybody else in the congregation or to impose that on the entire U.S. population. That's just wrong. That's a violation of Romans 14.
Yeah.
So here, let me wrap it up with this. Guys, when it comes to the COVID shot, let's respect Christian liberty here. Let's be sure that all churches respect Christian liberty. And whatever you do, don't follow the Gospel Coalition on this one. Whatever you do, do not follow the Southern Baptists on this one. Insist upon the principles of Romans 14, at the very least. And let's be sure as we make our decisions that we never respond out of fear, but out of faith. And let's be careful about the quarrelsomeness and the questionable matters that have not been well settled in the church courts as yet, especially when it comes to scientific studies, questionable data, fake news, and over-anxious megalomaniac power mongers in government shoving something down our throats. Let's be sure that we aren't turning this into a food fight in our local assemblies. And that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. Friends, you can interact with the program by just emailing me at host@generations.com. And I encourage you to our little book, The Story of Freedom. We are really at the cusp of losing all liberties in this country. At the very least, let me plead with you for just a moment. At the very least, would you please hand off the old heritage, the legacy of 800 years of Christian liberties to your children, because perhaps sometime in the future we may have another shot at a free country somewhere. The Story of Freedom is available right now at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.